This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adetokounmpo also looked like himself right there.
So Adetokounmpo now with 22 points. Booker misses on the baseline. Jay.
Here we go.
Drive and kick. Rollins from the corner. That's good.
And again, that's Adetokounmpo in transition. And the only way to stop him is he sucks in your entire defense and he creates the three for Rollins.
Man, he's... In my opinion, he's incredible, man. Whenever he has the opportunity to play, he takes advantage of it. The last couple of games, the last six, eight games, since the time that he's been starting, he's been playing incredible. But not just he has the guts to make big plays down the stretch or to take big shots. He's picking guys up full court and he's just making it tough for them. He's making it tough for them, and that's incredible. He just got to keep on, learning the game, keep on playing the game, keep on listening to the coaching staff, to the players, to Dame, to Rondo, especially Rondo, and just got to keep on learning because he has a bright future in this league, and he's shown flashes. Like, he can be really, really good, and whenever he has the opportunity, he got to take advantage of it and play the right way.
There it is. Highlight courtesy of TNT. That is Giannis talking after the game about the one and only Ryan Rollins, who is essentially your starting point guard now for the Milwaukee Bucks. Why? Because Damian Lillard appears to be done, it appears, as of right now, definitely for the regular season, possibly maybe for a portion or all of the postseason. And Rollins has been playing really, really well. Last night, 8 of 10, 5 of 7 for 23 points, 5 boards, 5 assists for Rollins in 31 minutes in a Bucks 133-123 win. It is Steve Sparky, Fiverr, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM at 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, being joined now by Ty Windisch from the Eurostep Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windisch. Ty, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I saw Ryan Rollins was being discussed, and I was eager to jump on. I've been a big fan of his game since the Bucks added him late last year, more as a herd player, and this recent surge has been just incredible basketball at a spot the Bucks sorely needed it with this Damian Lillard injury.
It's hilarious. So Rollins gets the opportunity to play more after Lillard goes down. I bring up on this show, I was like, hey, man, like, why can't Ryan Rollins maybe be a guy? If he averages, like, say, 15 and 6 or something like that the rest of the way out, and what if the Bucks win a series with him as the starting point guard? Maybe that does open up conversation about maybe you consider trading Lillard if you think Rollins can be a guy to play with Giannis and trying to go find a legitimate other guy that's better than freaking Kyle Kuzma to come in here and play with Giannis to convince Giannis to stay past this year. But Rollins would have to play at that level, to which I was greeted with, Rollins is who he is. Don't get your hopes up, Sparky. It's like, dude, he's 22. Like, he's not 32. He is 22 years old. He's barely touching the surface of how good he might eventually be at this point. And I know because nobody ever heard of him prior to last year. Nobody wants to get on that bandwagon. But he's showing right now he could be a legitimate guard in this league.
Yeah, I think I look at it more as, he could be a great complement to Damian Lillard. I think they play together well and just a really useful young player to have around. But, both in terms of where he's at now with his age, And I think the bigger conversation when I look at a player like Rollins, and this reminds me of, you know, I was shouted down for being very excited at the deadline when Jericho Sims was added. Remember, he didn't really get to play right away. It took like the suspension and the Bucks kind of needing those minutes. And then you see the skill set, and it's easy to look at a player like Sims, like Rollins, and just go, oh, you know, he's averaging 2 points a game. He barely plays. Like, the opportunities in the NBA or anywhere, you know, they aren't just based on merit, right? It's, you know, you need that opportunity to open up. Sometimes you're on a deep team and there's just never a chance to play, and it may not be your fault at all. And then sometimes you find this right opportunity, like Sims had done, like Rollins is currently doing, and you're able to show what you can do on both ends. And I think for Rollins, he had come into Milwaukee and to Oshkosh even last year with more of a reputation as a defensive first guard, which is useful, but that doesn't get you to be, you know, starting and playing with Giannis, even with Dame out, but really worked on his offense. I think with the Herd, shot like 40% from three and had a couple big scoring games to kind of show he's been refining that part of his game. And this season, when he's played big minutes, he's been able to score the ball, whether it's catch and shoot threes or driving it. And that's really important to this team now more than ever, but really always. You know, they need rim pressure outside of Giannis and Dame. That was the whole point of the trade deadline. And Rollins is showing he can also give that, plus be a spacer, which is the issue they've had at times with Porter Jr. and with Sims. So I think he's got a bright future. You certainly hope the Bucks can re-sign him in restricted free agency this offseason and just have him be a part of the team, whatever the role is. We'll figure that out later. But he's a talented young player. He's a good fit with Giannis. It's a huge win. You know, it's a huge silver lining out of this tough injury situation the Bucks are in.
Talking with our guy Ty Windisch, Euro Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windisch. Everybody likes to yell about Lillard's defense not being very good, and it hurts the team, and oh, if they had Drew Holiday, and yada, yada, yada. That's all I hear. But let me point out something here. Since Lillard has won out, I don't think their defense has been special by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it hasn't. It's been a huge problem, actually, which, you like, to your point, you would expect now that you're starting, I mean, I would say five above average defensive players, to say the least. I know people have their bones about Lopez, but that's just a, you know, stationary rim protector. He's still good. He's not great.
Yes.
Like he used to be a couple years ago,
yep.
But he's still a good rim protector. And then you just have a lot of two-way players. I would say their scheme execution has been very poor recently, especially the Hawks and Knicks games, the Hawks worst of all. And just their energy level has been bad. You know, guys end up in the paint for no reason. They're not really helping there, but they're leaving shooters wide open. Just not enough work done on the glass, which part of this, I think, is they're really missing those two bigs right now, and getting Portis back next week feels like it'll be a huge deal just to have another body and a big guy who can go out there and rebound. They really need that to help firm up and not give those second chance opportunities. But yeah, it has been disappointing to see. You know, the Bucks have found ways to score in a lot of these games. Again, their point guard production between Rollins and KPJ has been pretty good. But, like, defensively, they've been lacking. And that's the opposite of what you'd expect. And that, to me, shows that they were not ahead of the Phoenix game, not getting enough out of the group they have. And I know there's a tendency to, oh, Dame is out, whatever, another lost season. They're still here. They're still playing. They're not eliminated from postseason contention by any means. The goal should always be to maximize the group. And I think they need to do that. I think there's work to be done there, but I guess the positive is this group should and hopefully will be better defensively by playoff time.
Ty, if I would have said the Bucks are going to shoot nearly 70% for an entire game, and I said to you they're only going to be up by 7 with about a minute to go, you would have said, how is that even possible to be up only 7, shooting almost 70%? And then you look at the free throw line, 45 free throws for the Suns? They took 92 shot attempts. I mean, they outshot them by double digits in field goals and in free throws.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, some of those are, you know, you can only control so much on, like, free throws. But a lot of it just comes down to, you know, outworking and just out-efforting and out-hustling the other team. And the Suns clearly, especially I would say in that second half, just worked a whole lot harder than Milwaukee did. And that's where you just start to get annoyed, because, you know, you still have Giannis, right? Like, you still have the best player in pretty much every game you're going to play. Certainly in every game they're going to play the rest of the way. You know, you're not going to see Shea and Joker, however you feel about them, again. So you should go into every game, if you're on the Bucks, thinking, we got the best guy in this game. We got a chance if I come out here and just do my job on both ends. And the Bucks just have not done that consistently enough. And I think Giannis, after last night's game, I believe said, like, you know, this is like do or die for me. And my teammates think I'm joking, but I'm not. I thought he was really fired up to start that Suns game. I said on our last pod with Rohan, he should do a Jimmy Butler and pick up like Rollins and the two-way guys and just beat up on some of these rotation players who aren't working hard enough. And hopefully something like that is happening, because there's no excuse for this team to not work hard at this point. If they come up short offensively because they're without Lillard, that's one thing. But you said it, that's not been the story. And I think some of this level of play, it's just not acceptable for a team that still has a great, great player on the roster.
You know, the other part about this too is you look at the trade deadline and what they did. You look at what Middleton's numbers are average-wise. You look at what Kuzma's doing average-wise. There's not a huge gap necessarily between the two of them. And Kuzma doesn't give you anything from an outstanding trade perspective at all. There's no part of his game where you're like, okay, he's special in this area, right? He's special at shooting the three. He's special at the mid-range jumper. He's special in transition. He's special in, you know, protecting the rim or steals or whatever. He doesn't have any special trait whatsoever. And then on top of that, him and Porter both play out of control at times. I am so not frustrated, because this is what he's done his whole career, but they thought that I think they thought they could make him into something more than what he's been during his career, and it hasn't happened, and it's not helping him by any stretch of the imagination right now.
I'd say the one thing that he does at probably the highest level, or has done for the Bucks, is he has been a very good switchable defender, and I think he's done a really good job taking on some tough covers and using that size and length, and that helps them. That helps them quite a bit, and they really have needed that. But they just need more from him offensively, clearly. And the last couple of games have been better. And I think it starts with, for me, cutting down on everything for him offensively that's not getting to the cup and scoring. And I think where his worst stretch with the Bucks was like last week-ish, and he just kept picking up these offensive fouls, maybe trying to out-physical a little too much getting to the cup. But he had a beautiful like spinning layup against the Knicks. He had a couple of good drives against the Suns. They need him getting to the rim, but that's just difficult when you've also got Giannis and Brook Lopez in the starting five, who are, you know, not players that are really, I mean, Lopez shoots, but other teams are willing to let all of those three players shoot to take away the rim. I think that's been difficult for Kuzma. I actually think the Bucks should try to minimize the minutes all three of those play together and either be playing smaller with Giannis and Kuzma or be playing bigger with, you know, Brook and one of the two guys, basically. Because it feels like when Kuzma, with those bench lineups, when he has success, it's him and shooters, and he's been able to use that space and get downhill. They just need more of that and less of the threes, because it's been way too boom or bust. And I don't think you want to rely that much on, you know, he looks good shooting it, but the percentages are what they are with the Bucks and for his career, and they're not good. And it's just, you don't want to rely on him shooting too many jumpers.
Ty with Ty Windish, Eurostep Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. Here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. There's been a lot of blame being thrown Doc Rivers' way. There's been people talking about, let's go get Jenkins, who was released as head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, former Budenholzer assistant, obviously, when he was here. I cannot imagine, but again, it's not my money, that they're going to want to pay Doc Rivers for a couple more years, continue to pay Adrian Griffin for a couple more years, and then on top of that, pay Taylor Jenkins, who you're going to have to pay a pretty penny for, I'm sure, in order to get him to come here. The only way I'd be down for this is if they completely blew it up. Giannis gets traded, Lillard gets traded, and they're getting picks and young players, and it's going to be essentially OKC, and they're going to start over. If you're doing that, then Jenkins makes a lot of sense, and Doc probably retires. But if you're going to still try to compete with veteran players and so forth, I just don't see how they get rid of Doc Rivers at this point. How do you look at this situation?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends how we go from here, of course. The caveat that, you know, I'm less inclined to make the big old changes if they somehow go on some magical run. But let's assume they don't. I personally would rather just bring in a new executive and a head coach in an ideal world, just to have them on the same page. Or maybe at this point, if you know, I think you make a good point about Doc. I mean, we're seeing owners get crazier and crazier. I think the Suns are going to fire and hire a multi-year head coach again for the like fourth or third time in a row, which is, you know, that would have been seen as impossible before. We'll see. I think they may just be crazy enough to do it. Maybe, you know, the new Jimmy Haslam ownership is aggressive enough also to say, hey, you know, we'll do what it takes. We'll do what it takes for the team. But regardless, I want the front office slash ownership, because that's kind of a, it's almost a combined bucket at this point. And whoever the coach is and the coaching staff, which maybe we don't need 45 assistant coaches because it doesn't seem to be working based on the Bucks' inability to execute on both ends in the last couple of weeks here. And just make sure everyone's on the same page and then build a roster to fit the vision. Because if you look back, this, like, either the coaching staff or the roster continues to change in unpredictable, on-the-fly ways, like every 6 months or so, going back to the Lillard trade. And it's not sustainable. You think about the biggest success the Bucks have had was, like, the first, in pretty much the whole Bud tenure, because they had a vision. Horst and Bud built it together with Giannis and Chris. And they got better and better and then won a title. They incorporated Drew Holiday, sure, but really the same mold of point guard as Bledsoe, just a better fit. Since then, it's been, okay, we got Griffin. Oh, suddenly Dame's available. Let's go get him, even though we built the roster with Drew. Okay, Griffin's not working. Now Doc comes in. This past year, bringing a couple good vet minimum guys, but you don't really reshape the team. And then, boom, trade deadline. It's not working again. On the fly, let's trade Chris for Kuzma because we need athleticism. These are not real plans. These are, let's just do something. This isn't working. Let's shift. The Bucks need to have an organizational vision that they execute. So that's my goal for the summer, more than any one name, is let's make sure we're working towards something all together for longer than 6 months at a time.
One last thing for you, and that is your thoughts on how they decided to go about doing their tribute for Bud and so forth. Last night, I said before you came on, I don't see any reason why, you know, in 6 to 8 months when you knew he was coming back here, you couldn't have at least come up with some type of OJ Mayo-like tribute. My God, Mayo got more of a tribute than Bud did last night.
Yeah, there should have been a video. I do wonder genuinely, and maybe we'll never know this, if Bud didn't want it. It does seem like in both the Phoenix and Milwaukee pressers that he really kind of just declined to talk about his experience with the Bucks and like what it meant coming back. I mean, he said, like, out of respect for, you know, me coaching the Suns now, which, I mean, I don't think the Suns would have been offended if he talked about enjoying that championship that much, Bud. I don't know, but it seems like there's maybe some strain there. But I agree. I mean, I think Bud's place in the franchise history is locked in forever. He's obviously either one or two on the list of franchise coaches, and I think has a pretty good case to be one. And
he's got the highest winning percentage of all of them. He's at 69%. The only one's got more is Griffin, but he doesn't count. He was barely here.
Yeah, I mean, the ring makes a big difference there, and just the sustained success. And really, I mean, we look at those playoff runs now as disasters, of course, but, you know, every regular season they were in the top four in the NBA and winning and topped the league a couple of times. I mean, it's a remarkable tenure that should be honored. And you know, you sure hope that going forward the team is able to do more. And if that fence needs to be mended, then mend it, because that's a franchise icon coach.
Him and Costello both should have some type of tribute set up inside of Fiserv Forum. Like 100%. little cases or up on some type of stand or something in remembrance of both those guys, the only two coaches to win championships somewhere in that stadium. It doesn't have to be in the bowl. It could be by the pro shop or in the pro shop or whatever, but there should be something in my mind set up somewhere honoring Bud. Ty Windish, Eurostep Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. Obviously, we know you guys cover the Bucks with the Eurostep Podcast, but you're talking all sports over there on your different podcast platforms, right?
Yeah, baseball back up now. I'm watching the Brewers waste this great Freddie Peralta start, unfortunately, and our draft guys are picking up for the Packers Packers draft in this month now, too. So we got all the stuff going at our various pods, but I share all of them. So, you know, if you tap into what I'm doing there on Twitter, we'll make sure to see our Brewers and Packers coverage as well.
At Ty Windish, she does great stuff. Again, Eurostep Podcast. Ty, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me.